Our next applicant is the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. And Jim, once again.
You're going to get tired of hearing my voice.
No.
All righty. The Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts is in Menominee in Dunn County. It was incorporated in 1945, but the facility has been around since 1889, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly. Its mission is to strengthen and connect our community by engaging people in the arts. They present between 20 and 30 performances of. Let me describe the facility again. This is an 1889 facility. It has 280 seats, located in a 16,000 person community of Menominee. The facility was made accessible due to an extensive 2007 addition, I think, rather than renovation, an addition provided to bring people into the facility. It does not say how much that renovation cost. It was done very carefully because the building is on the National Register of Historic Places. They are still paying off that renovation, although they have the, according to one document that they submitted, their annual report, as a matter of fact, the debt is down to $95,000. The outstanding debt is down to $95,000. That must be a later document than their last financial statement, their last 990 that they submitted, because that indicated about $150,000 still in debt. Let's see. The organization presents about between 20 and 35 shows, concert events a year, and also serves as the home to the Menominee Theater Guild, which was instrumental in saving the building back in the 1970s. They used to do a significant outreach program with the school system called Arts Integration Menominee. Through December of 17, the information indicated it was discontinued due to lack of funding, but it didn't indicate whose funding was diminished, whether it was the funding from the Mabel Tainter or whether it was the funding from the school district. Difficult to tell. Let me see. They have a nice, well-rounded program for a small historic theater. They have a continuing connection with the St. Paul Ballet, which is important because it would be difficult to get professional dance into so small a facility without a continuing connection. There is a new staff. There was discussion that an indication that it was a positive step. Perhaps written by the new staff member, that the former staff member was let go, but there was no indication as to the issues that led to that decision. It's clear that the 2007 renovations to develop that accessibility for the facility stressed the finances of the organization. Most distressingly, their numbers do not match, even remotely, between the between their application form and their 990 forms. Their application forms show healthy surpluses in each of the past 3 years, $138,000 in 2014 to $43,000 in 2016. However, their 2016 990 form indicates a $166,000 deficit. It's interesting that deficit is almost exactly the amount of the depreciation on the new facility. So it's not as if the $166,000, would be an operating problem for them because it appears to be unfunded, depreciation, which is not unusual for a facility like this. But I am distressed by the fact that their numbers don't match, as I say, even remotely between the 990 forms and the numbers on the application form. I've been back over the 990s several times to see if I can determine what the difference is, but I cannot determine what that difference might be. Let's see. On the other hand, if their remaining debt was $150,000 in 2016, and as of the newsletter that they issued, it was down to $95,000, paying off $50,000 of debt each year is a significant accomplishment. It is sad that the Arts Integration Project disappeared. I would like to know more about why, whose funding was cut, where the issue fell down, or was it a victim of the change in executive directors? They have an aspirational marketing plan and intention to develop and expand part-time staff, but a lot of responsibility for that planning falls on a group that is inexperienced. I'm concerned about that. Their strategic plan they indicate is underway, and it will be interesting to see it when it's fully developed.
Thank you. Beth Lipke, comments?
I had the same issue with the 990 and trying to figure out what was going on there. That one I couldn't solve either, so I agree with that. From an evaluation standpoint, at least they do cite how they use their point of sale service or their membership tracking to evaluate attendance and pricing. But again, I didn't see formal evaluation attached. And I think that they were, their SWOT format, I made that note of how they wrote their narrative. I don't know. I didn't mind it, but I also didn't feel like I got a full story with it. So basically, I guess my advice to them too is obviously now that they've made the decision with a new executive director, it's just going to take time in the state of transition to make sure the information is getting out there and it's presented in a clear strategic message to the community, since their narrative reflects how important the center is for the community.
Very good. Beth Bonney, any further comments?
I kind of would mirror what Beth just said. I just said they need to work on, or had written they need to work on identifying community needs with a new executive director. It's understandable that they can't articulate that totally yet, but that I also would encourage them. They say the strategic plan is evolving. I felt like their strategic plan was more a description of structure, not a plan. So I would encourage them to make goals with specific action steps to achieve.
Any other comments? Karen, I'm wondering if you could clarify any of the financial discrepancies, or shall we just let it stand?
I think we'll let it stand, but before we do any formula-based work here, we will ascertain what the correct numbers actually are.
Very good.